By that I mean, the way God led Israel through the Red Sea, even without reading the Bible and that, we know that God had alternative. But for God, it's no alternative when he has already chosen something.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
You see, it's not that, God, why you didn't use this? Why you didn't? No, it can't be used because God, in his holiness, in his wisdom, in his purpose, limits and restricts himself to the Red Sea. Let us hear a little of it now. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 through 20.
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them.
May I, brothers and sisters, may I? Brother Mitchell, this sounds like the contrary God. You know, why would he harden Pharaoh's heart? You see, this is where we meet up on strong delusion. Wait. The Almighty God is still today employing strong delusion. That God told Moses he will harden Pharaoh's heart. You see, the Almighty God knew that Pharaoh would still pursue the children of Israel. And the Almighty God knew what that will end up be for Pharaoh and his army. Read, brother.
And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen.
You know, I like how God repeat that. The Almighty God would have done it another way had Pharaoh been more submissive and humble. God, as if it were, said, Pharaoh, you want it the hard way? I'll give it to you the hard way. We must use all of this to understand God so that we can relate to him better. Look. What verse you start, brother?
18.
Let me hear a little more of verse. Let me hear 19 and 20.
And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel.
The angel of God that went before the camp of Israel. Wait. The Israelite didn't see the angel for the most part, but the angel was leading anyway. Read.
And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them.
They removed from before Israel.
And the pillar of the cloud.
And went behind the camp of the Israel. All this is strategic. God is leading.
That's right.
You know, brothers and sisters, if we can ever spend time with God's word, getting to know God, that will strengthen your faith when crises come. When you get to know God.
Truly.
Because even what we are reading here shines light upon God. When in God's wisdom it was appropriate for the angel to go before the Israelites and led them. The angel went before. When it was convenient, more convenient, for the angel to go behind, because when the angel go behind, the angel would come between them and the Egyptian camp. Watch here. God did not want Pharaoh and his army pursuing the Israelites. God did not want the Pharaoh's army to catch up the Israelites, because of course they would slaughter them. I hope I remember in a few minutes or second to remind you that Israel did not know much about fighting at this point. Very important point. In fact, that might have played a part. Left from before and came behind. Verse 20 now.
And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them.
That's right. All that you know is to make sure the enemy not get too close to them. Watch here.
And it came between the camp of the Egyptians,
yes,
and the camp of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cloud and darkness to them.
It was a cloud and a darkness for the Egyptian.
Yeah.
That's God's doing. Read.
But it gave light by night to these, so that the one...
You see, talk about the them and the these. The these that got the light were God's people. The Israelites. Provide light for one and darkness for the other. What a great God we serve.
Yeah.
Verse 20 finish. Let us hear 21.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind,
mm-hmm,
all that night.
Read.
And made the sea dry land,
mm-hmm,
and the waters were divided.
Now remember, this didn't take weeks or months or years. It was instant. That's miracle. That where the sea once occupied became dry land. That is, you have the sea bubbling up on one side and on the other side. While you hold that passage, any of you, brother, can quickly, is O'Neill with us, quickly find 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. But Chad, you hold the passage.
Moreover, brethren. I would not that you should be ignorant.
I don't want you to be ignorant.
How that all our fathers were under the cloud.
Under the cloud.
And all passed through the sea.
No, don't notice. Hold it, Brother Webb. Under the cloud, which means the cloud was over them. And all they passed through the sea. The sea was on both sides, which is giving you the idea they were covered. Read on.
And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
You notice the in the cloud? And in the sea, they were baptized. That's God's doing. Because when that was happening, some 1,400 years before Christ, that was pointing to baptism.
That's right.
Nobody at that time, Moses, who wrote Genesis and Exodus, nobody then had any idea that all that what God was doing, having the cloud over them and the sea on both sides that is covering them, nobody would have dreamed that God was pointing to man's eternal salvation.
That's right.
in which baptism would play such an important part. All were baptized unto Moses
in the cloud
and in the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, you read verse 21 now? Let me hear a little of 22.
And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. In the verse 22.
Okay. Let me hear a little of chapter 13, I think, verse 19 and 20.
And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones.
Read.
Hence with you.
21.
And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night.
Find me, I think it is verse... Is that chapter 13? You read from what verse? Let me hear from verse 17.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through
that's,
the way...
That's the passage.
That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines.
God did not lead them through the shorter route. But my God, the people are taking that long journey. Isn't the shorter route the wise way to lead them? Hear what the brothers just read in chapter 17. Chapter 13, verse 17 through 18. Is stating at least part of the reason. Let me hear that again.
And it came to pass. When Pharaoh had let the people go, that God let them not...
When Pharaoh, the implication here is that when Pharaoh, after the Almighty God had sent the many plagues that he sent on the Egyptian, Pharaoh felt compelled to let them go. But the most natural route that everybody there, the Egyptian, Moses and others thought God would direct them. That's not the route that God directed them. Read, brother, read.
That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God.
Everybody here? It was the nearer route. Is God a wicked God, just want to punish the people? No. Read, brother.
For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt.
May I? When you and I going through any challenge, crises, it never come to us. What usually come to us is, I pray to God about this. I consult God how many times, yet things don't work out. It never come to us that God sees where we do not see. God is wiser than we are. You see, brother, I have come up to the point that I had mentioned before that. At this point, get this, in Israel's history, remember, they had just left Egypt. Israel as a people didn't know about fighting and war. Explain that, Brother Mitchell. They had been slaves for some hundreds of years. So knowing how to defend themselves, to go out there and battle with another, this was a strange thing to them. Who knows that? God knew that. And the Almighty God knew that had he permitted them to go through the territory of the Philistines. No, the Philistines were always warlike. Yeah. Wow. They were expert in fighting war. Israel were babies in fighting war. The Almighty God knew that any way they tried to go through the Philistine land, the Philistine would defend every square inch of their land. Israel would melt away. Hence, the Almighty God make a road where it was impossible to have a road, through the Red Sea. What a wise God. Have you ever thought that God is leading his people the same way today? But he's working behind the scene. A lot of times when you and I experience disappointment, frustration, and whatever else, remember it's not long after this, the Israelite quarrel and Moses, that there were not enough coffin in Egypt. There was not enough grave. That's why you take us in the wilderness. That's how they saw it. But it has nothing to do with graves. It has to do with the Almighty God guiding you the best way he knew how. The wisdom and the importance of God's leading. Give me a few more minutes, brother. There's so much to say. Of immense importance relating to God's use of water. Not only here at the Red Sea, but in the flood with Noah, we are not left to give these happenings of God our interpretation. I repeat, be it God's use of water in the case of the flood with Noah, be it God's use of water at the Red Sea with Moses as the Israelite leader, God did not leave us to give it the spiritual meaning. The Almighty God gives us his own divine hermeneutic. That is his own interpretation. And in both passages, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 following, the Almighty God enlightened us that what happened to the Israelite at the Red Sea, it was a form of baptism. Be it the passage in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, with the flood, God let us know too that that was a form of water performing a duty to give man safety and salvation. May I? Two divine, awesome happenings. Two. The one with the Red Sea, the one with the ark. These divine happenings happen some 1,000 years apart. It is said that with the flood, that happened about 2600 BC. That's the flood. The crossing of the Red Sea. That's about 1,400 BC. That's some 1,000 years apart. Watch me now. But both of them were pointing to New Testament baptism. Both of them, so far apart in the ancient world. Yet the Almighty God was seeing way ahead to the gospel, to Christianity, and God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. Both of them were pointing to the water of baptism. They were pointing to our eternal safety. They were pointing to our salvation. They were typified of New Testament baptism. The happenings at the Red Sea, 1400 BC, the happening at the flood of Noah, 2600 BC, all of them were pointing to the gospel age and New Testament salvation. As I wrap up, I was about to go a little in some of the ways in which baptism typify, or what happened typify baptism. But I'm going to stop here, because next week we will go into this. May I again remind you as I close, in both the case of the flood and the case of the Red Sea experience, in both cases, the Almighty God employed water to provide safety, security, and salvation for one, and used the same water for the punishment and destruction of the unbeliever. And in fact, it's not just in two cases, but in all three cases. Next week, we will speak a little more about this, that water, baptism, going to stand as a witness against the ungodly on the day of judgment. If you're here today, and if you're not a Christian, don't be sitting there telling yourself, "Me no have to be baptized to be saved." You know why that is just foolishness? God says that you must. When the Almighty God told Nicodemus that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, water in that statement was referring to baptism. And Jesus Christ was saying baptism is imperative. Today you can be baptized. Today you can repent of your sin. You can confess Christ's name, and you can be baptized for the removal of your sin. But wait. Baptism is not just simply going into the water for religious purpose. No. Baptism means you will accept baptism for the purpose that the Almighty God attaches to it. As the brother prepares his invitation, may I just point out, if I ask you to go and fetch me some water from the pipe tap, but you go and fetch me water from the refrigerator, you didn't obey me. If God says you must baptize for this reason, But then you brush the reason one side that God attaches to it and place your own reason, then you didn't obey God. So you see, there are a lot of men and women who have gone in water and think that they were baptized. But the teaching they got before baptism was completely contrary to God's word. They can go into those type of baptism a million times, and in God's sight, they are still not baptized. Today, you can come and accept baptism for the purpose and the reason that God attaches to. We are here to wait on the Almighty God is ready to meet you in that water and to remove all your sin. As we stand, Jesus Christ.